You're listening to Q-Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again. It's 9:02 on a Tuesday night. It's the show with Clayton McKee. That is me. I'm here along with my cohorts in crime, Marnie Ryer, Katie June, and Al Perkins.
Hi.
We are joined in studio tonight by apparently what's going to be a long and lovely friendship. Laura and Kelly and Joel are here from NYPD
and
Pizza.
And Sarah.
Sarah is not in studio, but she is with us in chat
digitally.
Room.
And Spirit.
And she's a first-time listener, according.
And she now has my phone number, so Sarah and I are going to be just texting back and forth all the time.
She's been dying to meet you, Clayton.
I don't... How old is she?
A female 19-year-old. That's exciting.
I really failed...
She's seen your pictures associated with... You and Marnie over the years.
Did she see
actually
our,
met the, at the Marnie's one, house.
Yeah, you
we
guys,
did.
My 40th birthday.
Okay.
My 40th birthday. Surprise,
3 years ago.
Surprise.
Which is in the future sometimes.
Yeah, I thought you were 33.
Well, Laura, I drink sometimes, so I forget some things.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. And I don't look the same usually from week to week. So
why?
It's okay.
Were you a black woman at some point?
Likes wigs. Hairs and wigs.
Oh, hey. What'd you say, Kelly? Yeah. She likes wigs? So does Al. Yeah.
Sherry Shepherd has a new line of wigs that I recommend highly.
We share a lot of things.
Yeah.
Actually, you really do.
Got it. All right. So we were talking about, and Marnie, continue on. We were talking about the issue with the
it's kind of a scandal at this point. Yeah.
The radio prank from Australia to the hospital in England.
Well, and the only thing tying in from last week, we were talking about, you know, what harm could our words do? You know, we discussed this last week, making fun of people without, you know, how I was talking about all the people in the
I know,
the fucking Mayan bullshit, you know, and like, I'm going to get track shoes and, you know, look, run. but it comes back to.
Can I walk?
You can totally walk.
Thank you.
You have to be in shape, though, because the guy selling it says 12 to 15 pairs of shoes.
If I walk long enough, I'll be in shape.
But this is where, you know, it had come up. As a reminder, between you and Katie June about the idea that, you know, that they don't have hope, that it's about people that don't have hope and this and that, because I think you're a fucking moron, you know, that you're going to go buy
a pair. Why are you looking at me when you say that?
No, Bill, because they're both looking
at that
down.
A fat joke?
No, not at all. You called me carny last week, for Jesus Christ's sake.
Asada. Carny asada.
Carny asada.
Which is delicious.
And yeah. Spicy.
Lovely,
and nutritious.
A little saucy.
And a favorite.
Good point. Thanks,
little
everybody.
Little cream on that stuff. It goes right in my mouth.
You guys should come more often because it's a support group. But the people don't have hope. And if what we're saying or that here we're kind of putting things down, and they're like, you had stated that people feel like it's their fault, especially like young gay teens. You know, with this gal, you know, the idea that here some people on the radio did something, whether right or wrong, that kind of affected. And it made me think of us doing this and took me back to that sitting in Clayton's living room talking about the show and suicide or is it a cry for help? And how we were just going to, you know, because we sit in here and kind of mock everybody.
Oh, because what if you're listening to the show and you're a Republican teen? We have crucified you.
Oh, my God, yes.
We've blamed you for anything but being a white woman.
A Republican gay Asian teen.
Even worse.
I'm rough on the Asians on this show.
And every now and again. But we're kind of rough on a little bit of everybody.
But we're also
some more so than others.
True, and I agree that. But I think a lot of people that listen to us, I hope that they listen to us and realize, though we do throw intermixed facts within, most of it, we're being satirical. And we're just making fun of every fucking person.
Oh, right.
Like, nobody gets out alive.
No, it came up with my friend at work that's
Joel
Mormon.
Gets out alive.
Because he's one of the first people that I told about that the show
allowed.
Was coming up, and he was excited to listen to it. And then I realized, like, holy shit, do we... Like, and so I told him that I'm like, if you listen on the off chance, like, I hate all religion. Like, I just want to make, I always want to make that clear.
It's not
like,
just you.
Right.
I will pick it week by week, but... And I'll, you know, the man in the dress gets the most grief of anybody else, sure. But and not Barbara Savella.
And his purse is on fire.
I mean, really, with but that dunce cap on.
Like as we start bashing stuff, that's the constant theme. Is like it doesn't matter what you believe in. I think you're an idiot. Like I take the Bill Maher stance on that one.
I think we should maybe even take a little bit of a survey. Obviously, Laura, now Kelly, have you listened to or just your mom?
No, I listened also.
Okay, you listened also. Okay, so. My question to you, now from the outside, obviously this is your first time in studio with us. You know Marnie, and I understand you know Marnie. But have you literally said, oh Jesus, they just said that? Has any of that come across?
No, because we do that to each other.
A dysfunctional family too.
we sit around and go, thank God there are other people like us in the universe.
You're our target
really
audience.
Awful.
Yeah,
yeah. Because so far we've really not heard.
Awesome.
There's been a couple of things that have been said. I mean, Marnie likes to drop the C word often, and then there's been a couple other words that have really been.
I like it. And Marnie, be happy the week you weren't here, we got scolded for retard.
Good.
That's
so
we lost a listener on that one.
There are some,
on that one.
But I meant slower.
Retardando, which is a musical term. Right. Now,
try to make that clear.
And Joel, in the 67 minutes and 40 seconds that you've been with us,
since you memorized your face, you can draw.
Not counting has
anything? Are you like, wow? I'm sitting in a studio with a bunch of crazy people who talk.
Share your mic, gal. Share your mic,
or just talk out loud. We can hear you.
Oh no, I'm having a blast. I'm going to be a listener from now on.
My hope is that you listen from right here.
Yeah. Would you like to be the mascot?
You're already we're looking for we're hiring.
Okay. All right, I thought the ick factor was going to come from him,
no,
but
I figured,
wow.
That's for him. I'm good like that. That's for him.
We're looking for a new face at
the
station.
Can you also bartend cuz we're
bartender.
Oh, there you go.
If we're going to throw around terms.
Cuz we're looking for us walking that far to Studio A.
It's too much.
It's too much.
I think it'd be great.
It won't work at all.
And we're all from the service industry cuz you know we tip.
Sure.
Nice. Even the lesbians tip in this room.
Good point. Actually, that's a really good point.
Yeah. Wow, we're throwing that
What's
out
the difference
there?
Between lesbians and canoes? Canoes tip.
Oh.
And we lost Brenda and Robin.
No, they're very good.
Which, by the way, he met Robin at Barry Manilow.
Who says she met me?
At Flagstaff.
All right.
He didn't remember that, though.
Yeah, Brenda and Robin were in Flagstaff.
No,
they
I know.
Sat outside the booth the entire time.
I know
time.
That, but the white woman doesn't know that.
Okay, now you got to remember there was dog poop on cornholes being thrown at eye level. So my focus was there.
And women that didn't shave in Birkenstocks.
They were playing.
We weren't in France.
Okay, for some reason they decided to put me. I'm an animal lover. If it's important to you,
you are not an animal lover.
Bullshit.
He hasn't listened to the first 20 episodes yet. So. Not even a little bit.
No.
It's just food.
He's only
that
listened
moves.
To 50 minutes so far.
So we got put next to the animal clinic for the wayward animal and nearly dead that haven't been spayed yet thing. I don't know what the hell
and
they were doing.
This is a trip where you tried to cook in the car. This is, the
no,
yeah.
no, no.
Laura, yeah. went, no, Laura. Yes, it
yes,
was.
Yes,
Laura
it was.
Was the one.
The
who
goal was
to
make toast, but I kept not wanting to get stranded.
That's right.
So they were having this cornhole somebody for a puppy contest.
It's true.
Where you had to throw a corn
Good
thing.
Time.
You had to throw a bag of corn through a hole to win a puppy.
Cornhole.
I don't know. I didn't get all the rules.
But
one of the puppies landed in poop. And the one guy.
One of the bean bags landed
so
in poop.
The one cornholer, he put all of the bean bags away and he goes, oh, people shouldn't play with it anymore. But who does he tell it to? He tells it to me. He doesn't tell his coworkers, the unfortunate pets, anyone else. He just tells me, who doesn't give a rat's ass.
In the next booth.
In the next booth. So I'm sitting there taking, get these fucking dogs away from me. And then 5 minutes later, this little kid comes up, child of a lesbian, we're just going to guess. Child of the promise's cousin, child of a lesbian. And no, it's the same first name. That doesn't work, does it? Anyways. So Child of the Lesbian comes up and asks if he can throw a cornhole for a puppy. And so they break out the things and they start throwing the cornholes covered in poop. And I'm like, wait a minute. He didn't tell anybody but me. So I kept it a secret because I thought, what's more fun than children throwing poop for puppies? because this is a whole group of people I don't care for.
As you're telling the story.
The lesbians or the animal lovers?
It doesn't and matter. Children. I don't like any of them.
I think that's rude.
As you're telling.
Well, I like the lesbians, but their children
are
not
their children.
As you're telling this story, I'm trying to figure out the name for this show, and I'm not sure what it's going to be.
Cornholing for puppies? It works. Throwing your cornhole poop for puppies.
Pizza and poop for puppies.
It rolls that's off right. the tongue. I'm just saying.
I'm hoping.
So by the end of it, I didn't tell anybody, but I kept telling him, I'm like, there is poop all over that shit, and no one's putting it away. So by the time we got to meet Martha Wash, I just found someplace that had soap and water, and I'm like, I need a Silkwood scrub here, because there has been poop flying at eye level. And then they're trying to introduce me to people. I'm like, no. I can't meet you.
Poop.
I'm covered in poop.
There is manure
poop particles everywhere.
Literally at eye level.
It is 9.
It did not stop me from eating the tornado fries.
Oh, the tornado taters.
Nothing should stop
tornado
me from
taters
that.
Are good.
Same fucking thing.
I understand, but the tornado taters girls are awesome. They're at every Pride and
God bless
the Flagstaff. I love those girls. They're so fantastic. And they've been together forever. Forever. They've been together.
33 the taters.
Two girls, one truck.
Years.
Keeps
them together.
Two trailers. They started out just with a cotton candy machine. Look at them now.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Brendan
and
Robin.
No.
I think they've been together 33
different,
years.
Different
tornado
lesbians.
Taters.
Yeah, they'd be together longer if they could make tornado taters.
Well, there's
apparently.
That. Oh, I wish Joel had a pair of headphones to listen to this. It's 9:12. It is Tuesday night. You're with the show with Clayton McKee. No, no. We're getting ready to play. We're getting ready to go into our segment we call Thoughtful Vulgarity. We do this every week. It's where we, well, just listen to the disclaimer and you'll understand.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
So demented.
Well...
Huh?
Would
you make my voicemail
answer? I will.
I
would love it.
It's almost like NPR when you can win it from the talk show on NPR.
Well, our question would be...
And by the way, you're all playing with the question.
Everybody's
involved. So, Joel, get ready.
So as we're talking about bullying, we always talk about trickle-down bullying where, you know, the preacher on TV says that gays cause hurricanes or I say that Republicans are all fucked up. Do you become a victim or a survivor?
Okay, like, let's do that again.
Like, we're just talking about bullying and not you being bullied or anything, because clearly we're all here, so we've survived our bullying, or we'd be, you know, doing this at a gravesite. But, so, like, where does it come down? Like, how do you make the distinction between the woman who transferred a call and became the victim, or do you survive it and just kind of, like, what's the difference? What's your advice to people that might be listening and, you know, what if you're a gay teen Republican that found a gay show that hates Republicans?
What do I do? What
and you're
do
like,
do?
God, I wish I just caused hurricanes, but according to this fucker, I do worse stuff. So that would be the question. Like, how do you tell someone the difference between being a victim and being a survivor?
Are we going to start with Marnie?
Marnie, of course.
Well, that's weird. Now I just lean into the microphone.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't piss me off.
It's an involuntary action now.
Any more Pavlov.
Al's talking, lean in.
Pavlov.
Pavlov's
I think
poop.
that's the hardest piece, though, because in general, it doesn't matter
if it's
about...
That's why I asked it.
No, but it's not about a gay Republican or a gay this or that. You have to believe in yourself. I mean, just to begin with, you don't have to believe in yourself because you're gay or because you're Republican, just in general. So that takes it to a whole new level where, you know, whatever we say, what I guess would be the icing on the cake, you know? I mean, as far as pushing someone over the edge, unless I'm misunderstanding...
No. So, like, what would your advice be to someone who's...
Believe in yourself? I mean, you know, just what other people say, the ridiculous as it might sound, water off a duck's back. I mean, if you want to be a Republican, be a Republican. If you're gay, be proud of being gay. Mm. But that's easier said than done.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, but truly, I mean... Like, I love you people, but I don't give a fuck what you think when it comes to the things that I firmly believe in.
There you go. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I want to hear, but yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. So it's about really being able to hold on to those core beliefs and feeling good about them. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, no, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Thanks.
Kelly, would you like to chime in?
Oh, we're participating. I forgot.
Oh, you are? You don't need the headphones, but it's kind of fun to hear the background music.
Yeah. It puts you, the music puts you in the mood.
I would make a WKRP reference, but you won't get it.
Cincinnati.
Mom will. Mom will.
Nobody has the pants on, right?
No, we don't have Howard.
Sweatpants only. Never
mind. I'm just in my panties underneath the table.
And it's not even Halloween. Yeah,
Plaid Sans belts.
Let's see. I think... I'll put a spin
again?
On it. No.
The youth of America speaks right. on Q Talk America.
Right. I'll put a little different, less on the bullying side of it. I had a shit year this year. It's been a rough year. And about 2 weeks ago, I rolled my car.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all this mess.
Oh, I thought it was a tattoo.
Oh, I totally thought it was
I was honestly going to ask you about your tattoo.
My face tattoo? No, that's
yeah.
I thought it was I did think it was an odd placement.
I am going to get teared. No.
Oh, teardrops, good. And then dedicated on your neck to whoever died.
Yeah. Got it. I will.
God help me.
And her other daughter's going to become a Mormon. There you go, Sarah.
Is she really?
I don't know.
Sarah, do it.
February.
Do it.
Okay.
That's a whole nother box of chocolates.
So now, shitty year. Aside from rolling the car, do you care to?
It was fine.
Lost our jobs a week ago.
But when
don't you work at NYPD Pizza?
Fuck, we're just related. We're just related.
At what?
Medical marijuana.
Yes.
Oh well, talk to Al's all of a sudden interested now.
What the fuck did you think I was talking about when I'm like, y'all have a lot in common?
Oh my
we
God.
Are the from best a research point for team ever.
Okay.
If anybody's looking.
All right. Wow.
Okay.
It's like the Judds.
Yeah. Way less therapy.
Well,
yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah.
But
a little less Hep C
girls.
Too. Yeah.
Yes. So the experience of rolling my car and not remembering it and waking up on the sidewalk and
wow
and
moving
and yeah and everything feeling like a big shit cherry on a crap
we
Sunday.
Get it was a bad 2012
yeah
exactly.
Al's wasn't great either.
And then everything goes to shit and then you realize that you could have died when you rolled your car and you didn't.
Right.
And that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
No, right. Absolutely.
So when you realize that regardless of what happened or who said what shit, you still have the rest of your life to tell everybody to fuck off.
I'm going to assume that it becomes at that point what nothing is insurmountable because no matter what challenges are now thrown at you, I didn't die.
Exactly.
So I can climb any mountain, I can deal with anything.
Oh yeah. Somebody said to me the other day, I'm having a shit day. And I was like, yeah, I do that too. And then I have to remind myself, hey, guess what? Woke up today.
Right.
And that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. As long as you wake up above the grass. Nope. Yeah. I'm sorry to make light of your situation.
Right side of the carrot.
In the grass, near the grass, just get in the grass.
Oh, if you're not pushing up daisies.
I can smell it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
It's my purse.
Right?
Oh, wait.
Right.
No, different story.
Why do I feel like there's a new show coming to Q Talk America with you two that's something about medical
be.
Marijuana?
I like it.
Yeah. Can I come to
do let us know.
Visit on
that's
that show?
A great idea.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
No side visit. Effects.
Oh, we
can
talk.
Oh, we
you
can
know,
talk.
Hours, all right. Hours and hours. Your turn.
Anything else? Come on. Anything else, Kelly? You good?
I'm good.
All right.
Now, Kelly, when it gets around to me, I have a follow-up point.
Oh,
so.
A follow-up. It's unlike Al to ask any more questions. What?
Do we want
to
go directly to follow-up?
No.
Okay. We might have. We'll probably have
I wrote
time.
It, to, I wrote it. I have my list, so I'll write it down.
We'll probably have enough time to go around the table twice.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I was thinking of this lady who committed suicide and had seen the story and saw the little burst the next morning, and... first thing I thought of was all actually back to the medical marijuana. All the prescription pill commercials that say could cause
suicidal ideation
and yep. everything.
And what are the chances of a bad day added to a side effect of a prescription medication?
Or
the
backstory that we're not hearing.
Twig.
And oh, yeah, and you're a nurse and you've got access to things that can do a little more harm and you might
or go quicker, easier.
That's exactly
without
it.
The pain or discomfort. But how selfish. I'm sorry, I'm a mother of two.
Oh, it's hugely selfish.
I would, my biggest thing with it, I have two daughters that need me.
Right.
And I don't care what kind of bad day I'm having. Nothing is going to make it okay to leave them to clean
right.
up that
so that
mess.
Makes right. that makes your stance, I always have to be a survivor. Like, I can never...
That's
like,
not optional.
I get an hour of a victim, but 23 hours I have to be the survivor. Like,
oh, and I threw okay. fit last week like a big baby for about 24 hours, and that's about all anybody would allow, and I could tolerate, and she knows. Yeah. But posted fuck this day on a, you know, Facebook kind of day.
Atta girl.
But that's... Once it's over, it gets boring. You can do that for about 24 hours.
Yeah.
But so many circumstances could but have gone into this woman's situation.
I did think of that with the nursing. Like, you also know what drugs work the fastest.
A bottle of Ativan, take a nice nap.
Right.
You're talking his language now.
Seriously.
Yeah, I know.
And I know nurses. So, I mean, Tylenol, just take a bottle of Tylenol. Don't tell anybody.
I just want to sleep.
You'll be dead fast.
Yeah.
Oh, Tylenol PM then. You'll be dead
wait,
fast.
Really? Your liver goes.
The worst drug in the world is Tylenol.
Yeah.
Like, if you took a whole bottle of Tylenol PM, you wouldn't wake up.
Dead.
If you would die. Not only would you die.
Because I take that sometimes.
Yeah, don't.
Hashtag dead.
Do not take Tylenol. Whatever you're doing.
Hashtag do not
whatever
take.
Whatever you are doing as a restaurant employee, let me tell you, stay away from Tylenol at all costs.
Wow.
Switch to ibuprofen PM.
I actually have a bottle of Tylenol.
And get rid of it.
Even regular
give
old
it
Tylenol.
To someone you don't like. Tylenol is the worst drug going.
Wow.
We say it all the time.
Like
at the restaurant, we would say.
Look for that brand.
No, you don't want Tylenol. Acetaminophen is the worst drug on the market. There is nothing more dangerous for you than Tylenol.
Oh, my God. So anything with acetaminophen in it.
Get away from it. It's the
so
worst drug.
Just ibuprofen.
And we talk about it at the restaurant all the time. If they had trials right now, that drug would never.
What?
Side effects are so serious and the chance of death.
Is it your liver?
Yes.
Yes.
It kills
marijuana
your liver
is much
and it kills
better.
It fast.
Shit.
There you go. Laura's selling it.
Oh, it's comparatively.
Sell it all day.
You, yeah. One bottle of Tylenol PM, you will sleep and you will die the most horrible death and will take every organ but your liver.
Oh,
and we'll
my
do
God.
It within 3 days.
Oh, my God.
Right, so, yeah. Oh, do not take Tylenol. Whatever you're doing, stop Tylenol.
Throwing it away.
Yep, throw it away.
Also, I do a very low-dose aspirin regimen. What do you think about that?
That's fine.
Okay.
You'll get a GI puff, bleed. Pass. Aspirin leads to GI bleeds, but not death.
Oh, could
unless,
that also
unless
sounds
you,
actually really
unless
bad.
You OD, that's the second drug that would be taken off the market if the testing
aspirin?
Was done today. Yep.
Shit.
Very dangerous. Do
Two
not give it
I
to your
take.
Child. Absolutely do not give it to a child. Absolutely.
I think I give her ibuprofen. We give her
yeah,
baby ibuprofen.
But not aspirin.
Okay.
What does she need ibuprofen for at this age?
She's teething.
Teething,
oh,
fevers, yeah, but no aspirin.
I thought Jack Daniels was probably best for
And I just work at a restaurant, said. So that is not Brown. Any kind of medical advice. I'm just throwing it out there.
We both said Brown.
Okay, so right. what's your answer to...
By the way, let's repeat the question for those
victim,
listeners
victim
who might have just joined
us. What's the difference in whatever... I brought up bullying because these are things that have been on my list for weeks just waiting for a topic.
Okay.
And luckily Marnie brought us a dead nurse to help us with our story. So, hashtag lucky.
lucky hashtag.
I like that we've associated a dead person with hashtag lucky for like 4 straight weeks. So, victim or survivor, like, what's your advice out there? This is kind of our version of it gets better is
yeah.
How do you switch from victim to survivor or what's the difference or?
I think it's really hard because I would say just having a strong personality, like just being confident in yourself, but that's not easy for everyone to
right,
do.
Right, that's not easy.
And that's the hard part. That's what I have a hard time sometimes. I would have a hard time putting myself in that person's shoes because I don't understand why you're just like, who cares?
So, I mean,
but I think about like what one of the stories that makes me the most sad is the young kid who was at college, who was at university, and I don't remember what university, who was, and his roommates videotaped him.
Oh, jumping off the George Washington Bridge.
Right.
Tyler Clemente.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's another bullying
that,
story.
I had
that
kind
down
of,
in here because that's the whole,
that's
I'm
the kind
you.
Of thing yeah. that is really, really just devastating. I mean, that was his own personal business, yeah. and he was like going through his own thing. And you can't tell someone like that, just buck up, be
yeah.
tough, you know? Yep. So I don't know. I don't know. In his instance,
like who could he have gone to? What would
know,
be his? What who would be his
why
counsel?
A plane ticket to a little cabin. Let him. Yeah,
just I mean, the,
yeah.
and there are those kind of. But I completely agree with you. When I was
know.
Saying like you know believe in yourself and this and that. If he didn't have any of that,
or if that was his first experimentation with being
sure,
himself,
right? All of a sudden he's fucking.
And someone
he's
mocked. Your first time putting a penis in your mouth and somebody mocks you on a video.
That's
sorry,
hideous.
Maybe you've seen this. but
same song.
So where's your counsel? Where do you go? Who do you look to? Like
you know,
who is?
I don't
and
know.
If you've never talked to anyone, it doesn't matter how many TV shows you watch, and it doesn't matter you know whatever. If you suddenly you're in it.
Yeah. Also,
you're
like, oh my God.
When I feel like sometimes.
I wouldn't think jump off the bridge.
No. I feel like sometimes when I need strength, I feel like I'm able to kind of laugh at myself and I let things roll off my back. If I don't, I don't know. I mean, like now I go to, my sister is a very important confidant of mine. I can go to her with a lot of things, or my cousin's always been, you know, I have some really great family members and I have some really strong lifelong friendship bonds that people that I can go to, but I can't even put myself in those shoes because at the point I'm at in my life now, I don't think I take anything that seriously.
Right. And I think that comes into play with it's not even in my bubble anymore. Like I don't even like that thought doesn't even.
Yeah.
I don't even know anybody who would think I feel like I've never even met the person that jumping off the bridge is in.
Yeah,
is worth?
Except for on Facebook, but where this question comes from.
A virtual bitch.
But that always is like what's because you can watch as many It Gets Better videos as you want to, but it's still not a real person to talk to. So I always wonder, like, where do you find it? Like, where is the
I think a lot of it comes from your upbringing and just kind of inherently, you know, who your family was.
Right.
And because, you know, I can think back to times that I was a kid and things, you know, and I was felt foolish or was made
maybe
fun of for
STD
this
and Cape
or that.
Cod. Yeah.
Maybe last week's show.
May or may not have happened.
You small Napoleon dick motherfucker.
Oh, that was bad.
That's just a hypothesis.
No, it's okay.
Oh, yeah, that was my boss.
But yes. I look forward
that's
to the day.
Coming back. That's coming back.
I look forward to the day when I'm vacationing in Cape Cod and you can use that expression because that means I recently got laid in Cape Cod.
Yeah. But I think you just hold your head high and you just go, okay, that happened or whatever.
Well, and because we don't know certain thing, I mean, if you go with the Tyler Clementi thing, I mean, we can speculate, you know, I didn't do a ton of reading about what they said about his background, but who knows?
Maybe
his father had, and again, I'm not saying his dad, but maybe someone in his family had, you know, made fun of faggots or made fun of, you
I
know,
think that he
this,
was.
That, and now all of a sudden, it's not just I have an opportunity to look at someone eventually and say, I'm gay. No, it's out there on video. Doesn't matter.
Straight to your DVD.
Your first time exploring. Whatever your preference is or however. Like, let's say they have you voting Republican in a booth and they put it on video. I mean, you know what I mean? We'll just get back to that 100
times. That'd
be
terrifying.
So, I mean, I just don't know what you do when you combine like, fear, low self-esteem, and then mocking. Like, where do you...
God, I don't know.
Everybody knows that. I did a 40-minute drunk show on bullying, so, I mean, everybody...
Because it's that combo, and if you have, you know, where, you know, maybe have had, like, any number of people maybe, you know, has had fear at some point. Has had a low self-image at some point about something, or has felt mocked at some point about something. But you combine all those things together, and
when
I don't
the perfect
know.
Storm hits, how do you get through it?
I would add to, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I would try to. I would kind of go, and I don't think I heard you mention it one time. Laura made the comment that for whatever she goes, for whatever she went through, she's got two girls who need her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I heard you one time say Palmer, and I think that obviously skews your. If you were just a single white female,
but you also didn't bring it. Well, maybe you did, but I was thinking you didn't bring it back to you yet. Like,
right,
right. Well, and I didn't specifically because I'm thinking right now. It's just it's so outside of my realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Like anything that dramatic is so outside.
A health condition.
Health.
I'm just going to throw that out to you. Like, okay, so you're strong and you have. People's words aren't going to hurt you, but you get a diagnosis that's iffy.
Okay. In all honesty,
and
we've had this conversation. I've had this. My mother-in-law currently is going through cancer, her second round of breast cancer treatment, where her husband just died a year ago. Like, it's really serious. And my family and I have talked about this a lot. And to be totally honest, my dad was like, you know what? I mean, if I get that kind of a treatment or something like that and they say this is incurable and you will die from this, he goes, I'm taking weed and beer down to Florida, I'm fucking fishing and I'm sitting there and I'm smoking weed and I'm inviting my family and like let's hang out and I'm
so,
gonna make myself
now,
feel
now
better.
That's a good example with your thing of that's the surviving it. I'm not gonna be the victim of this and woe is me.
I'm not gonna sit here and pout about it.
I'm gonna survive and that's an idea
well
of like
it,
you may still be the victim of it, but while you're alive you are surviving it. So that's
Yeah.
And I think the only reason I didn't bring up Palmer is just because I'm thinking of like instances in my past where have been a victim.
Yeah.
Right. Which I could. I could still be a victim of any of something that's totally unforeseen.
I have to be honest with you. I love that you didn't even think about that.
Right.
Yeah, just doesn't. It. It's just,
Your new life, like a year of this, and it's not come up in the year.
However, when Palmer listens back, she's going to be offended about it.
Yeah.
Just a point, all of these are
hashtag therapy topic. Right. Clayton McKee. Here, listen to the music.
Oh, he's got...
All you have to share is the
Al's
now.
Just joining our show at 9:31. No, I'm kidding.
Welcome.
Hashtag paying attention. Because I'm not at all.
Yeah, I know.
No, most for the most part.
So can't tell.
Yeah. Things. I'm already stalking people on Facebook. I'm very busy.
People or a person?
He has headphones on. He can hear
Sarah is an enabler. I'm just telling you. She is. A 19-year-old enabler.
Well done.
But it's all the restraining orders have expired. I think I'm going to go with, I don't know if Katie said or if it was Marnie that said it. Something in regards to, I think there's an age at which you stop taking things to heart from random people. Marnie made the comment that she doesn't really care what any of us think if it's something she truly believes in. And I agree with that to a point, but I would back that up with there are certain things. Obviously, we all have our own core values about certain things. And I tend to think that based on the people that I run with and who are involved in my life, I think there are a lot of similar, I'm not saying exact, similar core values.
I would agree.
Because we all, I'm not saying we're cut from the same cloth, because we all have kind of diverse backgrounds.
Oh, we all disagreed on Elmo, so there you go.
Yeah, we disagreed on Elmo, and we all also disagreed on me taking a Monday night off.
Which we didn't want to get into that ugliness.
No. But
he's not free on Mondays.
I can
unless
be.
There's respite care.
Respite care, that's right. You need
just
respite
call me,
care.
And I'll take care of that.
I'm certified.
Oh,
okay.
Nice. I think you can also fill in.
Laura can provide respite.
Yeah.
Perfect. No, I was just thinking that you could potentially take his shift at the store.
Absolutely.
Exactly. See, look what you could do.
You're very like riding a bike.
Multitasking.
I'm working.
You're very useful.
I am, aren't I?
She's very useful.
I'm one big multitasker.
I think the word you're looking for is enabler.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Sarah.
And that.
That pizza is so cold right now. I'm just so sorry. But again, it's you find you get to a point in your age where you're confident enough with yourself, and there are certain people just become I want to say irrelevant, but there's a they can't get through your armor. You're older. You get a thicker skin, and you realize that certain people say things. And they either they mean them just to try to goad you and to get at you, and it doesn't really mean anything. Because 9 out of 10, I don't really give a rat's ass about what people say. I don't. There are people, however, that are as close to me as you guys that, of course, I mean, I take with what you say with credence, and I factor it in. And if you tell me I'm doing something wrong or right, even if I may be doubting myself within regards to it. But as far as bullying is concerned, I just, God, it's been so long since I've been bullied, I wouldn't even know.
But we're just you being bullied. But what advice? Like,
what
if
do
this
you
is
tell
kind of
someone?
What
do you
tell
someone?
What do you tell somebody?
How to survive it? How to get through?
Because
it.
You're a person like sitting at Charlie's maybe one night a week. I don't know.
That'd be weird.
Maybe.
Weird.
I could. I could find other things to do than go there.
But someone might. There is.
Hint.
There are.
I'm just saying.
There are younger people that might come to you like on a dark day and say like, "Well, you seem to be able to sit here."
No, and honestly, that
and now
that
that's what I'm saying
happened.
Is like how do you tell someone like the difference between victim and survivor? Like what would I don't know.
Whew.
We're kind of leading this into all different places, but
can I just add something really quickly?
You
that
have
I
to say,
of?
"May I just?"
May I just?
Yes, yeah, you
just.
Can.
Thank
there you.
You
go.
Is that I was talking to my little sister again, who's one of my best friends, and she's going through incredibly difficulty. She's going through really really hard times right now in. Like, it feels to her like every aspect of her life. She's 22 years old. She's at her first job that she hates. It's really hard for her.
That doesn't go away.
Well, I know. She's having a teacher. She's a first-year teacher. She's teaching junior highers. She looks like she could be in junior high. She's having a really, really, really hard time. She's going through a really bad, friend breakup with her best friend over another person, you know, over someone else that the friend is dating. She's just having a hard time. And, you know, she called me the other day in tears about work and the friend and whatever else. And you know, she's like, I just feel like, what is, you know, and she was just having that existential, like, life crisis. I just don't understand, what is this all about, and why am I going through all of this, and who gives a shit anyway, and blah, 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 blah. You know, and I just said to her, like, you are going, she had cried in her classroom, or, like, had to leave her classroom in tears. Yeah. So now the junior hires are really on her. It's bad. So I said, you're going to look back at some point and laugh about that. And, oh, remember my first year when I was teaching and remember that happened? Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And it, you'll laugh. And she's like, I am not laughing about this right now. This is not funny. And she was just very upset. And I, you know, and I just tried to, like, you try to share with that person your own personal experience. I don't know. You tell them about something. Listen to this horrible thing that happened to me that I made through.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's, how do you be a survivor? You lean on other people, or you allow other people to share with you their stories, or you ask other people for their...
Or you trust them with your own story.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, you know...
That's very important.
That's right. Yeah, that's what it is. You're absolutely right.
You have to be willing to, like, open up and look vulnerable and be able to say, I fucked up, or this is what I'm going through, or this is who I am, and share that with somebody.
Yeah, right.
Because if you're not willing to do that, I mean, I gave up reading minds like when I was, I don't know, four. You know, up
until
then.
Actually a long time.
Except for today,
right?
When she realized this was all going to work out perfectly for me.
No, that was my reading.
Good. Thank you. Very good. So very good. Yep. Were you stoned at the time, Laurie? Just questioning.
Atta girl.
Constant state of mind.
I
wish you would have brought a little extra.
What'd you say, Kelly?
The better question is, were you not?
Oh.
Right.
I guess if we're playing bingo,
she's
you just...
in a New York story
right.
of mine.
I guess I would add to it, and I, with what you just said, I think you kind of shone a light for what my answer would really be. And you will understand this. I've been around a lot of people who were younger, who are theater people, who were dancers, who were performers and all this, and they were looked at by either family or, more important, mostly their father, where they were ostracized or looked down upon or questioned because their path of a profession, be it dance, be it the arts, be it whatever. And my thing was always going back to, well, I was made fun of for being this or that or whatever in high school, and I always just worked out, what was my happiest thing to do? What did I like to do the most?
Right.
Was it, if you like to dance, go fucking dance. Go, you don't have to be in a studio. Go dance on a sidewalk. Go dance in your room. Do whatever makes you the happiest. My happy place, if I'm ever in doubt about something, you all know this, and I've said this a million times, is my workshop at home. I will, if I'm pondering something and I need to clear my head, I take apart something, I fix it, I do whatever, and that's my clarity. And it brings me back to kind of an even playing field where I can kind of see across the horizon and realize, okay, that's out there and I'm going to have to deal with it, but it's not for however long. So I think I would encourage people, and I've done it before, go dance, go do what you want to do, whatever makes you happy. But if those people don't appreciate it, just take them for what they're worth, regardless if it's father, parent, uncle, aunt, potential, somebody that you need to have in your life, whatever it is, just take it for what it is. And then the angels sang. But no, I think that would be it. You've got to figure out, because I'm a very blessed person from the standpoint of I was never bullied. I was the fat white kid in school who had no rhythm and had bad hair. Now look at me.
I can't forgive you for the no rhythm.
Well, I was at a Barry Manilow concert, but I wasn't using a glow stick, so good.
All right, Joel, to you.
All right, well, a lot of the things that I've heard so far around this table, you know, it's been said before, a lot of these are easier said than done. And for a lot of people that have families, people, husbands, wives, that they have children, you know, they suffer from a condition called depression. Mm-hmm. And according to the Stanford School of Medicine, over 9 million Americans suffer from major depression. And a large percentage of people are undiagnosed. They don't get help. And for these people, you know, they don't have hope. They, nothing matters anymore. They can't feel happy. They don't feel, but they have to keep going, you know, for their husband, for their wife, for their children. And the thing that I would say to them is seek medical attention, because depression is not just a emotion that you can get over. It's a disability. Mm-hmm. So for these people, I would say...
it's just a chemical that just needs to be put back in
balance.
Yeah,
exactly. Something's imbalanced.
The hard part, Joel, with that, and I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you, and I think that's very much overlooked. But when you... And that comes back to that, you have to be able to tell someone. And you have to be willing to be vulnerable to say, I have this going on.
Or I need help. Or
I need help.
Yeah, because there's nobody.
Does that make sense?
I think Joel's right. I don't think there's anyone that's just like, this day sucks. I'm ending it all. Like, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot of buildup, which is why I think that that's bullshit that these DJs are being blamed for this lady's suicide. It's just freaking insane. But I think that you are so on the money that we completely overlooked that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And any parent will tell you when they have a child, they don't come first anymore. It's the child. So, you know, these parents need to remember that. And if you suffer from depression, it's not just yourself that, you know, you need to live for. You have children, you have a wife, you have a husband. So seek medical attention.
And the depression affects them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, depression doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody who loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But for younger people, you know,
that's so precious. He said younger people.
Again, the angels.
You can say us.
For us, the demographic in which Kelly and I subscribe to.
Clayton's a subscriber. Don't you worry. He bought every magazine that issue.
They call it Tiger Bee.
I'm debating canceling my trip to California at this point.
It's called Tiger
Bee. Tiger Bee. Stop it.
And there's the name of the issue.
I thought it was called Cougar.
Or that. Tiger Bee.
Cougar Bee.
I thought it was called Mountain Lions.
Yes, I think so too.
Continue, Joel.
No problem. Well, you know, the younger generation, we don't have a lot of guidance to that subject. You know, we in a sense, we don't have as much like that to live for. So a lot of times people who suffer from depression feel lost. They feel they don't have anything to live for. They can't get hope from anything. And I believe the issue was, how do you recover from, or how do you transition from being a victim to a survivor?
Or how do you become one or the other?
How do you become one or the other? Oh, okay. Well, victims, I believe, they take shit from every angle. You know, there's nothing in their day that they can, you know, get happiness from. And so they just give up. You know, they don't have anything to live for anymore. They just give up. And it's easier just to fall into oblivion than to, you know, trudge through each day. And for survivors, you know, survivors, they realize that it's going to end. Mm-hmm. And every day they just take something that they can cling to, some sort of hope. And they build onto that. And in order to get to a stable, you know, state of mind, it's not just going to happen overnight, right? You know, it's like anything. It's like becoming a bodybuilder, you know, getting
it's a process.
It's a process. You know, you build a little bit each day. So every day, find something that you can, you know, cling on to, some sort of hope. You know, whether you like a sunny day, suddenly it's a sunny day, you know, you can feel good about that. And each day, build onto that. And eventually, you know, you'll start building your confidence, you'll start becoming more stable, and you'll start attaining that hope.
Well, that actually sounds like the mantra for AA, which is like, it's one day at a time. Yeah. It's like literally you progress one day at a time if you're in that state, if you're in that situation.
Yeah, and that's a good correlation, because alcoholism, you know, that's a disability as well. So one day at a time, you recover from alcoholism.
Exactly. However you self-identify.
I speak of alcoholism, and I have a cup of wine right in front of me.
Now, can I get you a drink, anybody?
I'm going to need one soon. Now, I realize you have a follow-up question now, but I have an intermediate question.
Oh, it might just a follow-up to her.
About my face tattoo.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, then
go
ahead with that.
Are you good?
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm going to take this back. I've missed you.
Mr. Microphone.
Because I don't love anything more than my own voice. From our sports section, the Vikings are still in the wild card hunt.
Yes, they are.
I did the math yesterday.
You're fabulous.
I know. Not only does my uterus do math, but my football does. Okay.
I'm impressed.
Kelly is looking at you like, what the fuck is he going to ask me?
No, I just want to say, like, from the point of view, like, I was this year in a very bad accident with a bunch of people, like, that it gets hard. Like, I went to lunch with two people that were in the accident with me today that were both hurt way worse than I was.
and like I'm dealing with my own stuff. So I have a hard time finding people to bitch about like residual pain or right. this or that or the constant trauma of seeing Honda Odysseys that I think are out
oh, yeah.
to get me.
Right turns, terrifying.
Yeah. Like okay. I think Honda Odysseys are literally out to get me, and I see one and I shut down a little bit inside. So, but they're hurt worse than I am. So, like, there was my outlet to, like, bitch and then listen to their pain. And I'm like, okay, well, mine's not going to sound very good. Sometimes I just don't like to set up. So, right. and as this, and now we're, like, 10 months out from the accident. My thing is, I gave myself this permission the other day as I was cleaning the house that you can just be angry. You're allowed to just be pissed off that that happened to you.
That's
you are
it.
Absolutely allowed, and you have to give yourself... And it doesn't have to be your whole day. It can't consume everything you're doing, but you get to be just pissed off ice was on the road, the right turn went wrong, that somebody made a choice, somebody broke into my house. Like, I can be mad for a couple hours that, you know what I mean? Like, everything's different.
You have to be able to just have some sort of emotion about it, because if you don't feel anything, then you're screwed.
But you're screwed, yeah, exactly.
Anger is fun.
It's fun.
It's the most fun.
Except for Shane what? Breaks her feet when she's angry.
That's true. I kick things.
Was were you in the car alone?
I was. Like, yeah, I was all by myself, and I was southbound in the left lane, and I was the only car on the road at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and a guy booked it out of his apartment complex.
So nobody else injured
so
your vehicle.
So you're in the left lane, okay. Southbound. Okay.
And he wide right turned in an Expedition. I drove a little tiny Mazda, and he was driving a '97 Expedition. And my car rolled a time and a half, okay. Landed upside down.
The reason
were you knocked out?
I came to after the whole. I don't remember anything passing Glendale Avenue, and then he hit me right after I went through the light.
Oh my god!
And I don't remember the car rolling. I came to on the sidewalk.
My reason for asking was I wonder if there was any additional guilt if somebody else was in the car with you and got hurt as well.
I can't imagine how. I would have felt if somebody else was in the car with me. Though it was not your fault, still,
sometimes there's survivor's guilt.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't want to say that somebody would have passed away, but even if somebody was injured, like Al said, people were injured more than he was. So there's sort of like a guilt.
It was my car, but I wasn't driving, but my friend in the back seat got hurt worse than all of us, and I wasn't driving, and I was like fifth removed from the accident. Like, I'm so blameless, but I feel guilty because it happened in my car.
And when you...
Sitting at home on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like when you're and when you feel physically hurt and you have nobody else to talk to, and it's hard to actually like be okay with being a little sore from your big fucked up car accident. And
oh, he was sore for weeks and weeks.
I'm going every other day now.
Oh yeah. How long ago was it?
2 weeks ago Sunday. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, now
pictures.
We have visual pictures.
No, it's
Christ.
Not cute.
Yeah,
this is like Jesus. Really freaky deaky.
It was a big deal for me mostly because it was like I was at a shit place and I literally had. How am I going to do this anymore?
All I'm seeing here is a car that Al would have liked because it was green. And did it have a CD player?
Yeah. That's all I care about.
Green. Yeah. He liked a green car.
I just want to. I'm sorry. I mean,
and that's the difference between going from like.
Happened. She was at that place where it's like.
Oh,
why
and
in the
like,
fuck am I going to go on?
And, but even now, right? Like you're emotional about it because it's hard to even say like I feel like I'm going to cry. Like hard to say like how do I go on with
but
this?
It's a really, really, really hard place to be.
We had a horrible day that day.
Oh, yeah.
But look at you now. You're in the studio with us.
Right?
You brought joy to my life.
Oh, you're welcome.
There would be pizza if I wasn't a big fat pig that ate all of it.
I still have a pizza.
But so
if you would like, you're welcome.
But you just drew from, like, what? How, did
and
you lead on family? Did you
after.
Draw on
right.
was, internal, like, just was, strength? Or?
It was like, I made it through this. With like 12 stitches, I can do. And my mom,
okay,
yeah,
and my fairy godmother.
Well, that's sweet. Thank you. But you know the other piece is that, and I'm not taking anything from Kelly. She has that strength, and it's fantastic. And that chutzpah, if you will, of just being like fuck you. But then you add in the fact that she has this one's genes.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, I mean, it comes back to what you had
the
said, Katie, of
story.
Who you were, you know, who you came from.
Yeah.
And, you know, growing up and whatever that looks like.
And that's a story where you survive one thing, but then you're the victim of the emotions afterwards. And how do you get to being surviving that? And ask him, like, there was one night at a Filiberto's at 3 o'clock in the morning where, I mean, I had a crying jag that would not stop. Like, we were in public and I, like, all of the emotion, all of the survivor, the Honda Odyssey coming at me head on and everything, the airbags, the spinning. And I couldn't stop crying. Like, it just would not stop.
And like, when you have connections with people and you talk about things like that, there's just no stopping it either.
Yeah, like, yeah. And ask him. Like, I thought they were going to have to air vac me out of that Filiberto because I could not get it together.
Oh, yeah.
And I, like, I still don't know what the hell.
When and you become a survivor of those emotions one day at a time by letting it out today and then saying, I'm moving, I'm going to be better with tomorrow. And then letting it out a week from then and saying, but I'm moving on.
Right.
And maybe that's how you kind of do everything. You go, well, I feel like shit about this right now. I'm going to allow myself this period of time.
Right, right. And now, because I've been listening to all of you, so I kind of like distilled some of this stuff. And I think like one of the things, like if you're afraid of something, like if something scares you, like that you close your eyes and you count to five or you do something like that. And my thing is like, just close your eyes and this will pass. This too shall pass. It's the expression that gets me through everything, no matter what it is, except for the Mayan countdown. Like, yeah, like it will pass.
Is take a nap.
Take a nap. Exactly. Because this will go away. Like, everybody's mad at me now. Everybody thinks I'm an asshole right now. We're never going to get past the fucked up thing that I just said. But it'll pass. Like in a couple of weeks, somebody else is going to say something worse and I get off the hook.
Oh my God.
We're just going to go with my mouth. And then what you were saying about like nobody count. Like no matter what you say, I believe in my core beliefs. I think what hurts people is that certain people's opinions do count. And sometimes it's someone close to you. Like you were talking about a father figure that maybe is not happy with your lifestyle. Like sometimes there's that person that can say something and their opinion just has so much weight. And sometimes that can send you over the edge. Like if it's a someone that you really like admire or respect as a friend, all of a sudden tells you you're a drunk asshole with an STD. I mean, where?
Or you tell everybody else that.
Right.
About yourself.
Or I tell somebody else.
What's his name? Napoleon? What?
But you know what I mean?
I feel like we have to speed Joel up on so many things because they understand. Yeah.
And then forgiving yourself. Like make sure when you're – the transition is if you're the guy that's made the video that someone finally videotaped and you finally had your, you have to forgive, like you have to just say, you have to forgive yourself no matter what you did, no matter how bad it is. Like if you're the cause, like if you don't forgive yourself, I think you're going to spiral into doom.
I think that would be the harder part of being a survivor for me if I were, I don't know, the person that hit somebody that died in a car accident.
Oh my God, of course.
Yeah. Oh, forgiving yourself for surviving is a big deal. Yeah.
Or being at, even if it were an accident or the cause of some kind of permanent harm, that would be a whole
You're right.
Whole other conversation.
If your cause affected somebody else in adversely, that right, absolutely.
Yeah, that's important. And then from you, do something that only makes you happy. I think that's the best counsel that we can get out of all of this.
That was
don't. Just make sure whatever it is that makes only you happy. Whether it's go to a movie, I wrote down in New York, I go to the 42nd Street subway station where everybody's playing like the pickle tub and playing the drums. I like to go there and stand in the tunnel where it echoes and sing a show tune at the top of my lungs that only sounds good to me and that cheers me up for like a year.
Sure. That was going to be.
I give you a little Mama Rose in the subway station. Somebody might hand me a dollar and I'll take it.
Right. and that was going to be my follow up to your three follow ups. Was going to be in our final 4 or 5 minutes here. What do you do to make what makes you happy? What do you do? And I'm going to start with you, Al.
All right. The last thing I did have one last thing on his.
May I just?
I think the only thing is, I think parents don't recognize a lot depression in their kids. Like what he was saying about family dynamics. I think parents just think, oh, they're just being a teenager. Oh, they're just locked in their room. I'm not going to ask questions. And I think that's the missing component.
You were locked in your basement for 10 years.
Right. And my parents missed it. Like they didn't realize that there's a child down there that might have a question about something.
Why is enough and enough playing again?
So there's that double. there's that double-edged sword of parents don't recognize depression. Then the other thing I wrote down was children may not be able to express that they're depressed. They may not know what's wrong with them. With what you were saying, like it's undiagnosed, but it's not just undiagnosed because you haven't seen a medical professional. You may not know what...
You just have no idea.
You don't know what to ask for. You don't know what it is you should ask for help for or how to express it. And I think that's...
Or that you're different.
Or if you're, especially if your family member is depressed and you're just suffering from the same thing, I think, so that's where I think, like, find, go to drama club, find someone.
Oh my God, thank God, drama club.
Right. Well, like Barry Matt.
A support, some kind of support system where someone at least will hear what you're saying.
Well, like Barry Manilow even said in the concert, to take it back to that, he's like, I joined symphony. I didn't know what else to do. I was good at sports. I joined symphony. And that was the best thing that happened to him.
And how many stories like this do we have to hear from so many people saying the reason I'm here is because of drama club, because I found band, because I found orchestra, because I found music, because I found art, and they keep cutting art programs.
Right.
Yeah. How many times do you have to hear the positive influence on people that are making a difference in the world saying what's important to them, and they still keep cutting? So mine would be, and everyone knows this, is singing.
Of course it is.
All the time, constantly, anywhere, anytime, microphone, no microphone. That's mine.
That's your make you happy.
Whenever I'm depressed or down or anything, I know I have to go somewhere and sing. And most of the time, it's just the spare bedroom with the echo, and I just sing at the top of my lungs, and I seriously doesn't need another person there to hear it.
Right, Joel, what do you do if you're ever down and out? What do you do?
First of all, let me say that I am a fan of singing as well, so you and I will have to share a show tune one of these days.
Ooh, I like it.
Lord. We typically go to Cobalt on Tuesdays after karaoke.
Would you like to go now? Tonight?
I will be there.
I can make a reservation. Go now.
Yeah, let me make a shout out to my friend Valerie. Her and I do a mean Phantom of the Opera.
Okay.
Ah. All right, so back to the question. something that makes me happy. I go down to my local LA Fitness, and I jump into the kickboxing class. Now, let me tell you, it's not a badass thing at all. I share the class with about 30 middle-aged women.
I can hear you.
I'm right here.
Why are you going to tell everybody that?
I thought I saw you guys somewhere before.
Shut, Joel.
But I get my cardio going. I get those kicks. I get those punches flying, and I start feeling good.
Gotcha.
And this is going to come as a surprise, especially to Joel. I do not go and exercise. but
what?
No, it's true. Shh.
All those tennis shoes.
I know.
All those tennis shoes.
They're Chucks. Mine would be, it would be music. I don't know that it's necessarily singing, but it would be music.
Got
absolutely.
It. Kelly?
Yeah, mine used to be driving around in circles listening to my music. And then I rolled my car.
Now it's just left turns.
Now I just sit in my room and listen to it.
You're ready
really
for NASCAR.
Loudly. Oh, God, no.
Okay, Laura?
Happy, sculpting. Clay. Playing with clay.
Ooh, I didn't see that one coming.
Not
very good.
Not clay tin, clay.
I got it. That's very cool. Katie?
I have a few things now, and really this is kind of where Palmer fits in. When I'm having a shitty day, I just, like, hug a baby, and I just feel great. But, also, working out. I love you. But working out. If I am really, really, really feeling like shit, if I'm in a bad mood, if I'm just going to cry, if I feel like just, ugh, I will go for a long, I don't run, a long walk. Yeah. But I'll go spin. I'll go to a class. I'll go to the gym. That helps. And I like to craft. I'm a crafter.
I'm gonna go with a little bit of the music with you, Al, because obviously anytime, and I love on Sunday mornings, the Donna Summer Live and More album. How can you be upset when you listen to that album?
So
between that album and literally working on just virtually about anything in my shop, and just it's my zone out. It's like I can do whatever, and I create something or I fix something, I make something better, and it makes me feel better. So that's kind of my out. Yeah. And doing the show every Tuesday night with you fine people seems to work out lovely.
Turns out there's room for seven.
Oh my God, we gotta get more mics. I'm gonna have to apparently expand our debt ceiling.
By the way,
have to go up.
By invite only.
Right. Yeah. Don't bomb
don't
our
just
station.
Show up or something, because that's creepy.
That's weird.
If you do, you have to.
All are welcome, just not all.
And Joel.
We'd like to thank you for being here.
Joel.
Laura, Kelly, and Joel from NYPD Pizza have joined us. Thank you guys for being here.
Two locations.
We will be here. We will be here again next Tuesday night. It's the show with Clayton McKee with Katie, Al, Marnie, and myself. We'd like to say, for once and for all, we'll see ya next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona.